Thank you. I'm going to try to quickly go through some of the studies that I did along with some collaborators while I was working in Kenya, and hopefully I'll have time at the end to speculate on some of the mechanisms that might explain some of the unusual findings that we uncovered there that I think would be applicable to other systems, including those of you who work, for example, on 80s here in the US. This was a good study system because we had a lot of Anopheles gambi, and the urgency of the work was fueled by various malaria epidemics and a question of why these epidemics were occurring, why we had outbreaks of the mosquitoes in some areas and not others. So the term niche width expansion has been applied in the literature to mean two different things that may be overlapping. So there's geographical expansion. This is really an expansion of the range without asking why or whether or not the habitats are different as the range has expanded. Just physically, the range has expanded. Then ecologists will more typically use the term niche width to describe the resources that are being used by the organism, either that they are capable of using or else that they are actually using. So in the case of the studies that I was doing in Kenya, the geographical expansion of the niche, there were two sort of hot topics that people were discussing. That was highland malaria and then urban malaria. And both of these patterns, both of the malaria itself and the vectors, seem to be different than the traditional rural dynamics that had been seen. And for the ecological expansion of the niches, we were finding them in large numbers in brick-making pits in the highlands, and then in tree holes, which had not been previously described in the urban setting. So these were very shocking and disturbing findings at the time when we were looking at this and sort of being slightly horrified. So I worked principally in the western part of Kenya near Lake Victoria there. I want to start by talking about the highland Kenya, highland malaria. I specifically worked in the highlands in western Kenya, but the term highland malaria describes these epidemics that have become increasingly common in tropical areas all over the world. Initially, a lot of the colonists that were coming from Europe moved into the highlands as refuges from tropical diseases. They didn't have malaria, schistosomiasis, a lot of the diseases that plagued tropical areas. However, epidemics in the highlands of western Kenya began in 1918, caused a whole lot of deaths. But these epidemics ceased after the worldwide WHO-led campaign to eliminate malaria. DDT was applied everywhere, drugs were available, and so these epidemics ceased. However, following the collapse of that campaign and resistance to DDT, et cetera, there were a reappearance of these epidemics. As time has gone on, the epidemics have increased both in magnitude and in frequency. So I was traveling through the highlands for a different reason in 2002 when there was an epidemic going on, which prompted me to stay with a team that was there locally led by Francois Omelin with ICIPE to look into the habitats that might have produced the abundant mosquitoes, the adults that were around. So this is a preliminary study that we did at that time that implicated disturbed habitats as the source of these mosquitoes. The larvae were very abundant in these shallow pools that had been excavated for making bricks. So they were basically strip mining these highland bogs for clay, all done by hand. They were also clear cutting the trees to use to make big kilns to burn the bricks. So they'd be hardened and could be exported to other areas of the country. So during this preliminary assessment, we found that disturbed habitats were a big problem. And just this photograph is just to give you an impression of the extent of the problem. And this doesn't even really get it, but these are very large valleys, and the industries were extensive. However, all habitats were not the same. And here you see a actively disturbed pit on the left there, in which the abundance of mosquito larvae of Anopheles gambi was enormous. In contrast with the vegetated section on the right there, in which the abundance of mosquito larvae, particularly the Anopheles gambi, was very low. Interestingly, there seemed to be a correlation also of the native culicine mosquitoes in the emergent vegetation and the predators, the invertebrate predators that live in water, with those sort of structurally complex habitats compared with the actively disturbed habitats. So we wanted to test this out using a more empiric model. So we went back to the one of the most extensive of the brick-making valleys, and we decided to develop a model and test this. So the idea that we had linked this habitat disturbance with the vector abundance, and this was somehow leading to the transmission of the malaria by the Anopheles gambi. However, habitat disturbance was also affecting predator diversity and competitor abundance. And you have all the biotic interactions, all of these factors playing against each other that can make the ultimate link between habitat disturbance and vector abundance more complicated. So using a sort of cross-sectional approach, we sampled 100 of these brick-making pits in a single valley, Itumbe Valley. We asked the brickmakers, who were very knowledgeable about their local small area of the valley in which they worked, when was the last time that you were making bricks? And this ranged from being actively disturbed to over a decade since it was a given habitat was used to make bricks. We also got larval abundance by dipping and surveyed for diversity of predators. What we found was that habitat age did not have a statistical direct effect with abundance of Anopheles gambi. It did have a very strong significant effect on predator species richness or diversity. It also had a smaller statistically significant effect on the competitors, the native culicine mosquitoes. The predator species richness had a significant negative effect, as would be intuitive against these Anopheles gambi mosquitoes. And interestingly, the abundance of these culicine mosquitoes supported the predator species richness. So looking at all of these indirect effects, habitat age ended up having a large, statistically significant negative effect. So it wasn't habitat age directly that was leading, or habitat disturbance, successional age, wasn't directly leading to the abundance of Anopheles gambi. It was mediated through this food web leading to malaria transmission. So I've just finished this manuscript and hopefully we'll submit it soon. But looking on into the second category, the urban malaria, this is an interesting problem, not because, I guess, necessarily the mosquitoes are moving geographically, but cities are rapidly expanding in tropical areas worldwide. By about 2% per year is the urbanization rate in Africa right now. So this is a phenomenal growth, and it's taking over these rural areas and changing dramatically the transmission cycles of malaria, and now the vectors seem to be present year-round. In order to sort of figure out why there is year-round malaria transmission, basically where are the mosquitoes coming from as their larval habitat, I did a survey of a city, Malindi, on the coast of the Indian Ocean, in which I was testing the variables of disturbance and temporality to see if these were limiting predator colonization of aquatic habitats such that perhaps this would allow the mosquitoes to explode. I got great results with in terms of describing which kinds of mosquito predators, aquatic predators, could colonize, but I could find very few of the vectors, Anopheles gambi. It was frustrating. I looked and looked, couldn't find them. And then I got a call from Francois Umlin again from the Highlands, and he said, did you look in the trees? Which I responded, Nothley's Gambie doesn't live in trees. And he said, come back over here, come see what we found. And we did this longitudinal, or cross-sectional survey rather, looking all over the Nyanza province in western Kenya, ranging from highlands down to a large city of Kisumu on Lake Victoria, looking in all kinds of trees to try and see the variety of trees that the larvae could be found in, these phytotelemata. And although the range of trees in which they were found was impressively large, it was interesting to note that exotic species of trees, particularly the ornamental flamboyant and jacaranda trees planted along roadsides and in government facilities, were in great abundance. So this is an example of the flamboyant tree planted ironically around a clinic that had a lot of malaria patients in them. And I climbed this tree to get the photograph looking downward so you could appreciate the size of some of these tree holes. So looking in the rainy season, we did sort of a survey to quantify the Anopheles gambie that were found there and try and get a handle on magnitude. We did find that they were closer to the ground, suggesting that it wasn't so far away from their preferred habitats of ground pools. And although their abundance wasn't great, the densities were on the same order of magnitude as what was found in the brick-making pits in the highlands. They were found, the abundance, the densities of them were below what was found for culex in 80s. The fact that we were finding culex in these tree holes also suggested a possible mechanism that this was just opportunistic. So we went back in the dry season looking for desiccation-resistant presence, the eggs. During the dry season, just wetting the habitats, bringing the water back to the laboratory, having things hatch out and seeing what we had, we didn't find any culex. We did find the Anopheles gambie, and that correlated with the 80s that we found as well. So I think it's an interesting question as to why this is going on, why we have the expansion of these niches. And looking into ecological theory, it looks like the presence of competitors may be part of it, or it may be escape from predation, allowing for intraspecific competition, which when it occurs over time, selects for expansion of niche, so basically new capabilities that the organism didn't have previously, such as desiccation-resistant eggs. So I think we could possibly even apply that to systems in which other people work in, say, in the US, looking for situations in which we have substantial intraspecific competition and sort of think twice about where these mosquitoes might be and their adaptability over time.